Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I want to say that this beloved, precious gift of a guest is someone that when I first knew of her and heard her speak and watched her on television, you were, for me, Terry, the encouragement and the affirmation that what I wanted was real. I wanted to do a radio show, but I wasn't ready. And I didn't think I could say those things on radio and TV. And then who showed up just saying them, some of them verbatim that I said in my classes.
And I was reading your mail.
So I want to invite and thank and ask you to really hear what the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker has to say.
Oh, Iris, yeah. I just adore you. I love you. You're the sweetest, kindest, most precious person. There's only one Iris Jackson.
Oh,
just like
you, Terry. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. I guess I just want to ask you to accept my deep gratitude for your affirmation in my life. I mean, you had some noise, Terry.
I did. I had to do it. I was compelled to do it. And that's what we feel, you know, when we're really in our bliss. In that sense, we're on track. And I always think that bliss is the homing device that tells us when we're on track. And when we're not there, we're off track. And I had to do it. And that's that when we're in our right place, doing the kind of work that we came here to do, we must do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do it with flair and style, my darling. And
nobody has a cute little toenail like you do, all painted. Talk about style. You should see Iris, everybody, when you see her. She's so color coordinated and just she's a real beauty in every way.
Oh, Terry, thank you. And you know, it means so much to me to have you as a personal mentor and share giving with you the way that you do to all life. It's just such a blessing for me. And two of the greatest gifts of my life have come on December 3rd, which is your birthday and my son's birthday.
That's right. It's our appearance day because we're never born and we never die. So we appear and then we disappear and
our,
appear somewhere else.
Appearance day.
Yeah, why would we call it birth? We're not born. We are eternal. We're eternals. We're immortals. That's our nature of the soul. It never dies. So we have to language ourselves into truth.
Ah, our appearance day. You know, it'll probably make it a lot easier for moms to bring children into the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can appear now.
Yeah, it's your turn to appear. The curtain has now passed, and there you're delivered on the stage of life to play your role in God's drama, God's play.
You know, I have about 10 things I want to ask you, and I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about stuff that we, you know, not letting our subject interfere with what we want to say.
Oh, right.
But
right.
I didn't know I wanted to say these things. I didn't know you were going to say these things. It's going,
no.
You know. Oh,
we had no idea.
What?
We had no idea.
Isn't that the most fun, having no idea
yeah.
and going ahead and
oh, yeah.
doing it anyway?
I know. You think about all these like so-called world leaders. They have to read their script. and it's on a thing, and somebody else is writing it. They're not even trusted with even speaking their own words.
Here, we're going to dress you up and straighten your tie and put you on TV. Read
this. Just read these words over here. You'll be fine. And move your arms around, flap them around a little bit. You'll be just terrific.
Going for the approval rating.
Uh-huh.
Going for the approval rating. Well, Terry, I just want to thank you for never doing that. You are the most physically like the sun of anyone I know.
Oh.
When I think of you, I just see this ball of sunlight.
Hmm.
I do.
That's nice.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to come back to this appearance day thing.
Okay.
And I want to say that our subject today is from your beautiful new book. It's one of the most beautiful books I've ever, ever, ever seen, Terry. It is. It's just exquisite. What is this bloom on the front?
I have no idea. At first I thought it was a lotus because I told them I like lotuses, and they went and checked the art person checked my website. So when I first saw it, I went, oh good, that's a lotus. Now then I'm thinking it is a hibiscus.
Me too. That's what I think it is.
I think it is. And then I thought it was a lily, and then then the next time when I got the book back again, I went, no, so I think it's a hibiscus.
Oh, it's one of the most beautiful books I have ever seen. It feels like a green, growing, alive, flourishing thing.
It does, doesn't it? Really is so pretty. It makes you want to touch it and hold it and read it. Live your bliss.
It does, and it's a blissful experience to read it.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm so happy with the book.
Oh, I guess so. And this is probably your fourth bestseller, I imagine.
Hopefully. This is my sixth published book,
uh-huh.
And I have a couple books. I have one book finished that has not been published, which I had worked on before, Live Your Bliss, and this one's about how to make excellent decisions, and that I was calling that Create Your Destiny, but that was a little advanced. I'm going to bring that out later. But Live Your Bliss, and then my book, What You Think of Me is None of My Business, after 30 years, is still selling.
Duh, yeah.
I was watching YouTube, and some person that I admired on there said, well, if someone said, what you think of me is none of my business. And I was thinking, well, that was me.
Isn't that great?
It is great. So we want to help people in this book to live your bliss, because you are bliss. And we're the bliss of the universe. And most people aren't doing their job. And that's why there's the problems and the trouble, because we're not being who we really are.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, it's also a handbook for being where you want to be.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's one chapter that who you were before and who you will be next, about reincarnation and how that works. And I say, you know, your next life experience is being planned right now because of what you're doing. You know, your desires, your karma, that means what you give out, you got to earn it, God's will, you know, all of that. And we have an eternal life. We're never born, we never die. We appear here, then we disappear, then we appear somewhere else, we disappear, because we are able to travel, really, in both the spiritual world and the material world. That's a very interesting thing about the human being. And there's so many, in the ancient Vedas, that are a wonderful teaching, and Veda means knowledge, that shares there's 400,000 different species of humanoids in the universe, and in the universes, and there's billions of universes. So something very special about our body form that we have taken on, and to really know who we really are. We're superior to this world of matter, and we are co-creators of it, what's going on. And that's why it's very important for us not to trust our thoughts and not to trust our mind, because the mind is a computer and the greatest terrorist weapon ever invented, if you believe your thoughts that are based in fear and lack. And so our job is to remember who we are and keep our consciousness and our thoughts in the spiritual zone, and that opens us to the unlimited opulence and love and ideas and beauty and all that God is flowing through each and every one of us. So there.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's something I just discovered about myself just the last couple weeks. And, you know, I'm always cheering for everybody's dreams to come true and everyone to overcome all limitation and,
right.
And you know, be an expression of the glorification of God in our life. And this making excellent decisions, all we have to do is this moment excellently, or have no idea and let God do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know how the other day I had these a lot of my courses and classes on CDs, all in stacks to mail out to people. And then also, my office and my house really needed cleaning and vacuuming, and I'm going, oh, I have all this. And I thought, I'm just going to desire it to be done, and I'm going to just see it done. And the next moment, I was up, packed everything, cleaned the whole house, had a fabulous time, and I really didn't have to do anything. You desire it. And especially if we desire it for God, because then that's going to give us the greatest happiness, desire it to please God. And what pleases God is that when we're being who we really are, kind and compassionate and loving and giving, and that we always remember God, Mother, Father, God, and never forget Him. Because just like you want your children to remember you, they want us to remember them all the time. Then we're happy.
Well, then we have our attention on the source of all good. It's
That's
not
it.
Like God saying, worship me, worship me. God is saying, you know.
No, it's not an ego trip, but that's what makes us happy. That's why God says, worship me. God's not like us with our finite mind who have envy and jealousy and lack and limitation. So we're projecting our false ego trip on God, because that's not what it is God tells us to worship God, because worshiping God brings us bliss. It's because we're actually, it's just like you and I are appreciating each other. And as we do that, our love increases and our caring for each other increases, and we both feel better. And so it's all about circulation, giving and receiving. And so when we turn to the source and we're giving there, what is being returned to us or actually expressing through us is divine all the time.
Well, Terry, also when you give appreciation to someone, mm-hmm. like for me, to be so appreciated by you, it's not a shock, but it's such a surprise. And what I've noticed for myself is when I appreciate someone, sometimes they didn't realize that was a part of them.
Right.
Or, you know, like I hadn't claimed a part of myself until somebody else said to me, "Oh, wow, you're really wonderful."
Oh, yeah. We need that because, see, we've been told a lot from many sources there's something wrong with us. And I deal with this in the book, Live Your Bliss. And there isn't anything wrong with anybody. And it, because we're all a part of God and God is perfect. And therefore, we are life. You know, there's something wrong in the Declaration of Independence, and it says that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I know. But even life, we don't have a right to life. We are life. Life is not something that happens to us. It's us experiencing this material realm because we want to. But it's we always exist. And so we already have life, so we don't have the right to life. We are life. And liberty, we don't have the right to be free. We are free. We've always been free. It's as if when we say that, we're having them tell us we're free. I don't need to have anybody tell me I'm free. Because we're all using our free will. And then the pursuit of happiness and anything you pursue runs away. Because we are the happiness. We are the bliss going somewhere to happen.
The acceptance of happiness.
Yes, it is. The acceptance of ourselves as knowing who and what we are. And that's what I share in Live Your Bliss, because we have to know that we're already powerful and that the love, the happiness, the prosperity. I teach people in my prosperity seminars to say, "I am prosperity." And the definition I use, Iris, is to go forth with enthusiasm. And the word enthusiasm, I think, comes from Greek or Latin, entheos, which means with God, in God. So go forth with God, and you will always have what you need, because it's like if this belief is, I'm not enough, for so-and-so to love me, or my parents to love me, or for them to be the way I wanted, or them to give me the money, or those people to appreciate me. We're always in our minds saying, well, if I was enough, all these people would do what I wanted them to do. No, we're already enough. If you think you're not enough, it's that sense of, it's a lie. And so we're always then trying to be enough. So the harder we try to be enough, the worse off we feel, because the more we're in denial of our own divinity, of who we really are, which is always enough. And then the whole thing with prosperity, what people, when they have a poverty consciousness, it's I'm not enough. And so then they have envy of others, which is the disease of humankind with a poverty consciousness. So envying what other people have. And
oh,
then
can
it's
I say something about that?
Yes.
Oh, envy is believing yourself small enough to be on the outside with your nose pressed against the glass saying it must be nice for you.
Yeah, exactly. But I hate you because you have it and I don't.
Asshole.
Yeah, exactly. You dork. I'll get you. Yeah, it's like the honey's on the inside of the glass. So if you've got a bee or a fly on the outside, it's licking the outside. It can never get the sweetness because we are the sweetness.
And who's saying that they're not God and it just happened to them? They just started out, you know, spit on the sidewalk and they'll always be there.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I tell people in the seminar to say, you are a God, but not the big deal God.
So, not the big deal.
Yeah, we're part. We're an infinitesimal part, but we are totality of us, are all the qualities of God. So even how we are, God is. That's how God is. That's why. And the more we learn about God, the more we learn about ourselves. And this sense, too, of poverty consciousness is always saying, I don't have enough. Singing the I ain't got no money mantra. Don't, and then what if I say, do a mantra that I am prosperity, people do it once. I say, well, why don't you do it at least for 15 minutes a day? They said, oh, I don't have time, but they can do the I ain't got no money mantra for 2 or 3 hours a day.
Yes.
So what's going to
manifest? No problem. And multitask and do 10 other things, too.
While they're chanting their mantra.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poverty mantra. I wonder why poverty shows up.
Well, let me tell you my embarrassing thing.
What is it?
I realized that from the 80s, when I first saw Indiana Jones in the Raiders of the Lost Ark,
he
remember when he's on the bottom of the truck and then the grill turns loose and he comes up over that and there was this conversation going on with me the whole time, like, now he'll give up, now he'll give up, now he'll give up.
Oh, wow.
And I went around talking to people like you talk to them, live your dreams, have what you want, all of that. And I noticed 20 years later, Terry, in my meditation the other day, that there was that part of me that had held that all this time and was, surprised for his victory every time. And if you can do that with Indiana Jones, you're just completely forgetting who you are.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing. Absolutely. And what happens is we have to pray and ask God to help us and to give us what we need. And then it comes, and a lot of people, they never ask. And so, like, he was always expecting he could do it because he's in that constant state of, I can do it. And all we have to do is know that we can do it because we are being guided and directed by a supreme being all the time. And we can either listen or not. And that listening comes in our conscience, that we know right from wrong and we know what we're supposed to do because it feels right. We should not live by our mind or our intellect, because that mind or intellect, the mind is a computer and it's been programmed. And it you can't believe your mind. You shouldn't do what your mind is telling you to do, because that's making you subservient to a machine. We have to tell the mind what to do. And then when we know who we are as spiritual beings, then we can open ourselves to divine intelligence, divine mind, getting ideas, creativity, knowledge, and everything beyond the material world, directly from the source and the creator of all, to express through us. So the mind is a tool. And what happens is people are basically everywhere, computers are running computers. instead of souls being who they are and living in the kingdom of God.
Well,
wow. Yes, Irish.
No,
yes,
I didn't
Irish
say
girl.
Whoa. I said, well, I would never say whoa to you, Miss Terry.
No, you wouldn't say whoa. Well, I wouldn't think you would. No, I was thinking you were saying, like, wow.
I
wow,
was
wow,
saying
wow, wow, or wow. No,
I was
getting
it deeply.
You have so many friends, Iris. Have so many people who adore you. You really do. Yes, you do. So many people who love and adore you. And, there's this thing called a personal law. And, when we find, like, somehow we've been sabotaging ourselves or some deep thought, that concept that we've been allowing to run our lives. And it was a story that reminded me, and I think I wrote about it in Live Your Bliss. I did. And what it was, there was this man who went to his therapist and was saying, I can never earn any money. So they said, well, let's look at this. And they were doing the therapy, and it came up that when he was a little boy, he overheard his father saying to his mother, well, I thought Joe next door was my really good friend, but he charged me $25 to mow my lawn. So what he realized, this boy, as a man, he realized that he had a value, which was, it's good to be a good friend. And he got that, which it is. But he got that from his father, and how much stuff we pick up in those days. And that's why They've got an infomercial on TV. Your baby can read. Your child can read because they're so smart at that. We all are. And, but we absorb all of the, we've been dumbed down, programmed, conditioned to believe certain things through religion, fear-based religion, government control, advertisers, family, community, constant ideas, always being programmed in about this is good, this is bad. So the idea was, his dad said, I thought Joe or whatever was my good friend. So the person realized he had a value that he wanted to be a good friend. This was the law. But the other side of it was, you're not a good friend if you charge your friend's money. So here he was in a double bind. And a house divided can't stand. And that means that that's a trick that people have used to pit people against each other. But we really are pitting ourselves against ourselves, like the Battle of Armageddon, which really goes on within us. And we're basically our own worst enemy because we're denying the very thing that we desire because we're in conflict thinking that it's wrong. So it's like he couldn't make any money because he was friends with all of the people he did business with. And he likes people, and he likes being a friend. So in order to honor his personal law, he had no money. He couldn't earn any money. So he was always in financial trouble. And so you have to change that. He had to change that to... it's perfectly right to receive money from my friends for my products and services because they bless them.
Well, also, mm-hmm. we have to remember everyone wants to bless us for giving our gifts.
Exactly. Yes, to let us receive. And to also know that it's a blessing for them too. It's really a win-win. So if we have a personal law that says one puts us in conflict, that then what we have to do is look at if we're punishing ourselves, that means withholding love from ourselves, making ourselves miserable, living in remorse, self-pity, always having, you know, trouble. If we look out what's going on in the world, you know, what happens is these are our thoughts being manifest on the screen of life. On the screen of the universe, on the planet. And so we're fighting our very thoughts being made manifest. You don't need to fight your thoughts. Change them to be what you want. And then the outer world has to change.
Think about what you do want, not what you don't want.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's maybe the biggest problem between men and women. One day my husband said to me, just tell me what you want. I'll do it. I want to do it.
Oh, bless his heart.
You know, quit telling me everything I'm doing wrong.
And that's brilliant.
That's sort of where women start, you know.
They're criticizing. And what that comes, and men do the same thing, and that comes from... When we criticize, it's because we're envious of that person. Somehow we think they've got it better than we have, or that, you know, we're doing more or whatever, and they're getting the blessing, but they're not doing their part. And we're making ourselves miserable by our thoughts and our emotions and blaming them. But so we're punishing ourselves. And blaming them because they're not doing what we want them to do. And this criticizing, destroys relationships. And I was talking to this woman. She's a minister and she's very beautiful. And she was sharing how her mother always would say to her, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? And then she would say to her mother would say to her friends, you know, what's wrong with this child? What's the matter with her? So you grew up thinking, well, what's wrong with me? There's always something wrong with me. I'm not okay. And there's nothing wrong with anybody.
And so it's like, what is real love? Is knowing that that other person is perfect, whole, and complete, and can manage their own lives, and you just love them.
Yes, and to give that freedom to say, you are okay exactly the way you are, so you don't want to do it my way. I love
you. Yeah. I know. And this whole thing, it's very strange. It's because why do we have our own way so often, too, is because we think that's we have to do what we're guided to do. But sometimes we have all these concepts that say, well, for the holiday season, I have to have so many presents. I have to buy so many people gifts. I have to have such and such a tree. I have to have, all of my family has to call me. Everybody's got us. We've got all this whole, and then we start thinking, well, when I was a kid, my mom was there, my dad, my brother, now they're all gone. I'm all
used
by
to
myself.
Be fun.
Then we go over and over, torturing ourselves and become completely miserable when it's all in the mind. That's it. So live your bliss is about really how to know who you are and be who you are all the time, no matter who you're with or what's happening. Because then when we do, as that higher vibration starts to anchor in, there isn't anything at a lower frequency that can touch us. We are transcendental then, living in the spiritual plane. So that really is what we have to do, as this energy now is so increasing as we're moving into this wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes back to you sooner, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, and it would get faster and faster. And everything is, well, in a sense, we're moving out of time. And we're out of time, because souls don't live in time. It's not even eternal time. Time is a name given to material energy and the clock that moves everything in a sense. But souls, who we are, we're always now. And that isn't even now. It's just us being. And we're always being. But what happens is when we let the mind control us, we're not being, we're thinking, analyzing, figuring it out, judging, planning, looking in the past, looking in the future, judging, well, this isn't good enough, you're not good enough, I'm not good enough, and this food doesn't have enough salt.
Oh, and you know what's the real insidious bottom line under that people don't notice is, like, I could be perfectly happy if it wasn't for this.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or for you.
And so I'm withholding that, and it's your fault.
That's right. I know. And so what happens, a person stops the flow of love and bliss, which they are. They stop being themselves in that principle of circulation, always letting, being who we are. They put the iron wall up around the heart to block those happy feelings, because they've really thought that they don't want to be hurt anymore. And they think that other people hurt them, so they're not going to ever love again, as if loving again is cheating the other people you loved before, when it never had anything to do with them. It was always us either loving and being ourselves or stopping the flow of love, feeling bad, and blaming others.
Woo!
Hee-haw!
Kelly, that was a mouthful.
I know.
You say a lot of those.
Yeah. Don't ask me to say it again.
I can't. My head's turned around backwards. I'll get back to you on that. Well, you know, just going back to Appearance Day, I know that even though it's Appearance Day and we've called it Birthday, I know that mothers everywhere are grateful that humans start out very small.
Oh, yeah. before the birth canal, right?
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful that to have a human body, because this is at the top of the evolutionary stage of soul evolvement, soul evolution. And those 400,000 different species of humanoids, human bodies, each one of them is a particular frequency, a level of consciousness and awareness. Just like Neanderthals were one of the species of humankind, but they're not here anymore. And that frequency somehow does not exist. But you've also met a few people that you would think are Neanderthals because they act like it. So that,
no judgments involved whatsoever.
No, none. It's not good or bad. We're just noticing, right?
enlightened noticing.
Enlightened noticing. I observe this.
You caveman.
You caveman. I know.
That's a kind of a tricky one for me, the noticing, being aware, being responsible for how I participate with a person and seeing their highest self through appearances of maybe extreme Neanderthalism.
Yeah.
I don't know what I said, but whatever she said.
it was perfect.
Well, you know,
it's the gist anyway. You know, it's not always the words, because words can lie. And a lot of people, they don't tell the truth. They're always using words to try and hide what they're feeling. But intuitively, we know. See, that we do know, and then we judge our knowing by our mind and say, oh, that's not possible. That can't be true. and we know. So, you know, we know when people are telling the truth or if they're not. We really feel when something is good for us or it's not. And yet sometimes we'll, even though we know it's not good for us and we shouldn't be doing it, we're going to do it anyway. And it's because obviously we're compelled to do it because we've got a lesson there that we could have avoided, but since we've been so drawn into it, we're going to have to go through it, get on the ride, and get the lesson. But then God loves us. You don't punish yourself. You don't have to say you're stupid. Don't have to think you made a mistake. Don't think you're going to be punished and all that. Just get the lesson and apply it and move on.
And don't buy any more tickets to that ride that makes you throw up.
Exactly. Well, that's what's happened for me. I find I don't like going into the movie theaters anymore because everything is so loud and
assaultive.
It's assaulting me. So loud, and then so much flashing and quick moving. I get car sick. It's like the motion sickness. I just can't go anymore. Too loud. It's just torturing me. So I'm not going. I don't go. If there really is something I want to watch, I'll wait and I'll get it at home and I can turn the volume down if I really want to. But I haven't found anything I really want to see anyway.
And you can fast forward.
Exactly.
Well, there are some things that I find vastly entertaining. Like I saw a movie last night called Firehouse Dog, and I tend to really love the movies with animals in them. And
Firehouse Dog, is this an old movie or a new movie?
Oh, I think it's a couple years old, and it's there's this father and son redemption of their relationship, and the father really getting what the little boy needed. And going from treating the dog like a stray, worthless worm of the dust to really seeing his gifts and helping them bloom and loving this animal and bringing out people's best and, you know,
yep.
just all kinds of things.
Yeah,
like
when
that.
That's what a movie should be. It's inspiring. And a lot of it, TV and movie, is programming us to believe certain things and also to disbelieve certain things because when people can control our thoughts, they then control our actions. And a lot of times they'll use people that want to control our thoughts will use ridicule so that we don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want people to think we're weird. You know, what I agreed is I am weird, and you can think I'm as weird as you want, but I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to question every thought that I have, and I'm going to question what I hear and read and do my own research so that I can ultimately come up with and find the truth and do that. So this is what is really now at this time that we're moving in this very powerful energy is to really take responsibility for our thoughts and our feelings and what we're projecting on that screen that is being reflected back to us. And the highest thing we can do is, besides singing and chanting the holy names of Mother, Father, God, is to stay in that bliss zone all the time. And we do that by seeing God everywhere and that we are already in this spiritual world. And not to focus on all of that that we do not want in our lives. We just let it be and let us be who we are.
Well, you know, I had a teacher for years, mm-hmm. and one of the things she said is, I can say this, poverty is complaint. Let's see. Gratitude is riches. Gratitude is riches. Poverty is complaint. And,
uh-huh.
and when we're complaining and criticizing our own creations, it's denying, you know, I can say this. It's just I get a little tongue-tied around it, and
mm-hmm.
I know you'll understand.
I do.
You know, I used to have this thing where I'd go, now I want everything in my life to glorify God, but then I'd look at some part of my life and go, well, you know, it's kind of that thing Werner used to say, it's like to move on, choose it, but the only problem is only
right.
an asshole would choose this. I would look at whatever it was in my life, I would criticize it, and I'd say, this isn't glorifying God. And you know what God said to me about that?
What?
As long as you are giving praise, love, and gratitude for whatever it is in your life, you are glorifying me, no matter what it looks like.
That's right.
And that's
the so beautiful.
Thing that transforms it.
That's it does. When we do that, then everything becomes a gift, and it really then, that's God's magic. Because
yeah.
even through our own ignorance, we do something and get ourselves in such a fix. When we really, instead of beating ourselves up and thinking that feeling guilty is going to change it and feeling bad all the time, as if, what does that do? That doesn't change anything. That makes everything worse. It makes the body sick. It's not the point.
It's the hair shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to suffer. We're going to sacrifice this. No, we just turn around and give it over to God and then look for the good, the blessing. And now it shifts into not a mistake, but a valuable lesson and piece of the puzzle that improves the quality of our lives in
and
every way.
Becomes a stepping stone.
It becomes a stepping stone. Well, I have to share this. I think I told you that, Iris, about 5 years ago, well, in 1999, my foundation started building a three-story ashram apartment building in Vrindavan, India, so that people from the West, all over, you know, Europe and everywhere in the world could come and they could study these ancient Vaishnava text, which I like to call like advanced Christianity. And it's all about love of God and love of others as ourselves and Ayurvedic cooking and Ayurvedic healing and Sanskrit and, you know, all of this. So anyway, and I was also, I built a, you know, beautiful place for myself, marble floors and everything. And I thought, well, this is where I'll be living the rest of my life. Well, that wasn't God's plan. And what happened was the man over there in India, he had to have an Indian man, person, a citizen, be the president of a trust. So I trusted him because he was also had the same teacher, and he was, you know, had been very helpful. Well, anyway,
because an American couldn't own property.
No, you couldn't. No, you. I think you can now, but then this is a trust, so it's like a nonprofit, and. And it's not really a good idea for anybody to buy kind of in a foreign country, because if you don't speak the language and all of that, or know the customs, but anyway.
Or who to bribe. So,
that's it. It's all bakshish and bribing. So he started, and the money I was sending, it was like cash, maybe over $600,000 for everything, for the build it and the lot next door. And then, you know, I was just sending this money, trusting, and so he was also using that money to pay off judges and bribe police, and he put a lawsuit against me, so I couldn't go to India anymore. And he put poisonous snakes in the building, stole the entire thing. Well, this was all stolen 5 years ago, all done. Well, I went through my process. You know, I thought, well, it belongs to God, and it, so God obviously has given it to somebody else. And I started looking at my karma, what it is that I did to create this, and I had no resentment, no anger for this man. I was just completely clean on it. 3 weeks ago, he wrote a 5-page letter of confession, sent it to my teacher, all of the other disciples, and confessed everything that he did to me and other people, gave it all back.
Woo!
And the amazing thing is I'd always visualized giving my teacher $1 million. Now the property's worth $1 million, so I gave it to my teacher to be used for his foundation there, because it has the same, you know, same purposes I have, and I don't want to live there all the time, and I can go and visit. But before, I couldn't even go and visit. I couldn't even go to India.
And I bet they have a really fine room for you, Miss Terry.
I would think so. Well, we never know. Well, there's monkeys everywhere there, you know. It's a wild place. But I thought, here, another thing happened. A couple of months ago, I went up and spent a few days at this cabin by this lake up in the mountains, and just, it was so nice and meditating and being there. And I had this medallion that I wear that has these 9 perfect, nice sized gemstones, and I wear it inside. Well, when I got home back in LA, it was gone. And I went, I lost it. And I thought, well, and I didn't even miss a beat. I didn't cry. I didn't feel bad. I thought, well, belongs to God, and maybe God wants to give it to somebody so they can buy a house. I have no idea. But I called up there, but I wasn't attached. I called up there. They found it and sent it back.
Well, you know,
because we don't need the lesson. When we don't need the lesson, it comes back.
Well,
like the story of Job.
Well, also, Terry, it's pretty opulent giving $1 million tithes, honey. Woohoo!
Uh-huh. I feel grateful because I already got all the value by doing the service itself. All the pleasure, all the joy, all the, it's all about the service. It isn't about what we get from the service, because it's in the service itself. Just like when, as a mother, when we change our baby's diapers and we feed our baby and we bathe our baby and we take care of the baby, it's not doing that because, well, one day this baby's going to take care of me when I'm old, so I might as well do that. It's like we're having such a good time. so much love. And that's the payment.
One day I was kind of grousing when I was a young mother about all the things I had to do and stuff. And this sweetest voice came to me. I'm sure it was Mother Mary. And she said,
"Oh,
well, my darling, what would you rather be doing? Would you rather be like sitting over the switch? That would you like an important job? Like, would you like to sit over the switch that releases the atom bomb? Would you like to, you know, oversee this? Would you like to be running this country? What do you think would be a really important job?" And I turned around and looked at my beloved son, and I went, "You know, this is the easiest, sweetest, most organic. You know, it's laid out for me. Just do the loving thing. Next thing, just do the loving thing. Just act for his highest good." And I think, you know, there's something in just being here for doing that. If you only learn to love one person with God-like adoration, you know, it's like,
yes,
maybe
that's it.
Maybe that's the most important thing to accomplish on this planet.
Yeah, well, once we notice how we, it's just like this, because, you know, we love cows and we love animals because they're people. And that when we, like, if a person really, they love their cat and they take care of their cat and they have a loving relationship, then that shows how you can be with every animal. When we really learn how to love one person, we know what's involved. So now we can have those same feelings for everybody, even though the relationships are different. So we don't treat everybody like our baby. But what we do is we wish them well. And we are like your radio program. You're working for the welfare of humanity, lifting the consciousness above the mundane into the realm of miracles and possibilities that are really our divine inheritance.
Terry, I want to go back to the cow thing. We only have 2 minutes. I want to be sure and have people. It just goes so fast. We have to do this again soon. I want to be sure that people know how to reach you.
Well, they can get Live Your Bliss on Amazon.com. And if you like the book, write a comment. And this Live Your Bliss, it's a small book. It's not real big. It's easy to read. It's a wonderful gift to give to people. I'm getting comments how easy it is to understand and how good they're feeling and what the difference is making. So Amazon.com. BarnesandNobles.com, and my website is www.terrycolewhitaker.com, and I have a free gift for people if they want to come.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Iris.
Thank you for being here, and I feel so honored. You've been on Oprah, and you come on Miracles Happen. I'm just so thrilled and blessed with that, Terry, and I want to say,
well, being on Miracles is my favorite because I get to be with you.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Now, something that's dear to our hearts, both of us, and you talk about in Live Your Bliss is not doing any harm to animals.
That's right.
And
the reason why the wars are happening on the planet and all of the horrible things is because people are doing violence on animals, doing experiments, killing them, eating them. There's a thing called karma. And what you give out, you get back. And we are not to harm unnecessarily any living entity. And that's why we are really the children of God. And our job is to care for, to be caretakers. And when we do, we have a beautiful, opulent life. And if we don't, then we must suffer in the same way we have caused animals to suffer and other people.
Well, you know, just seeing an animal in a cage, I love freedom so much. I value freedom so much. And all I have to think is, would I like this experience for myself? And I will treat the animal as I would like to be treated. And we're over time, Terry. I just thank you for being here. I want you to come back soon.
I will.
Happy appearance day.
Oh, thank you.
And I love you with all my heart. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday for more Miracles Happen and Dreams Do Come True. God bless you. And may all your dreams come true. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!
BBSRadio.com, the number one internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Spider Turner. And you can buy my music at cdbaby.com. Pick me up. Check me out. Ah, yeah. BBSRadio.com.
This is Margo Raimundo, and you're listening to my CD, My Heart's Desire. Tune into higher frequencies, only on BBS Radio.
If I could run, I'd run to you, to be with you, night and day. If I could take